Anne Mossop.
Annabelle Crabb.
Brand new director of the Sydney Writers Festival.
Well, feeling a little bit less new than formerly.
Come on, mate. You look lovely, fresh as a daisy. And as I understand it, you know, planning a festival is one of the most relaxing things you can do, right?
Totally.
Particularly in the post-pandemic age.
I know. I could not be more relaxed.
You are clothed, your hair is brushed. I mean, you're surviving. But the thing that I obviously want to talk to you about is this festival of yours that you've been hatching like an egg for the last few months. Tell us, I'm going to mention the dates. We're talking the 22nd to the 28th of May. Tickets are now on sale. So what is the theme of this festival and why'd you pick it?
The theme of the festival is stories for the future. And this is about thinking about where are we now? Because I think everybody's very conscious we're coming out of a period of the pandemic and looking at what lies ahead and how can we do that in a way that also allows us to reflect on where we are now? And of course, in Australia at the moment, it's also a question of very much of thinking about what lies ahead, but what is the history behind it? And once you start thinking about the future, where it comes from, obviously people who are talking about that are people who've written, you know, speculative fiction. But actually what I found is that these concepts are embedded in everything.
I know that people aren't really reading news at the moment because they find it incredibly stressful because there's so much to worry about. How do you think people have responded as readers of literature to the events of the past few years?
I think there's literature is always about consolation and escape as much as anything else. And you can certainly see a strand of that in, you know, there's nothing like a beautiful, well-crafted novel for taking you away from, you know, from where you are in the present.
Sure, I've definitely upped my novel consumption in the last little while.
And even novels that are not, you know, not necessarily completely cheerful, novels that are big and complicated because they take you away from the present. But I think there's a number of different ways that people respond to the, you know, flood, fire, plague, war kind of vibe that you get when you watch the news. And that is thinking about, is this the way I want to live?
Yeah.
Do I want to be, you know, part of people potentially switching off the news is thinking, do I want this in my life?
Mm.
And that's been really interesting to think about that in the festival because we've got a few writers who are really looking at that. If you think about, you know, somebody like Bridget Delaney writing a book about stoicism,
mm-hmm.
What a fantastic book. I have given it to so many people, including, you know, 20-year-olds, 50-year-olds, because it's really saying there's all of these things that as a culture we have been thinking about for thousands of mm-hmm. years, and they're really useful in terms of how you confront the day-to-day.
And in our modern way, we all think we've only just thought of it.
Exactly. Oh, it's fresh.
Why
it's
do
new.
I feel anxious? Surely I must be the only one.
And so that's one piece of it. And of course, in the festival, there are some other great people talking about things like that. About really engaging with these questions about how do we spend our days?
Mm-hmm.
How do we spend our life? What do we need, you know, what is technology doing to the way we think about things?
Mm-hmm.
What is that, you know, the gorgeous little phone that is so handy and so useful, is it poisoning your life? So trying to have some conversations about that in a way that is, you know, that does go to those big questions and even some of those quite philosophical questions, but that also is actually really quite useful because I think that's something that people are really grappling with.
And the thing about the Writers' Festival is, I mean, I always find, you know, when I'm there, it's about being surprised by pockets of depth and insight that you hadn't thought of yesterday, and that sort of thrill that you get when you're in a room full of people who are all learning something or realising something for the first time. It's the best thing about going to a writer's festival. But your phone has been obviously going absolutely nuts for the last few months as you're thinking of people to ask, cajoling them to come. And I know for a lot of international authors, obviously, it's a huge step to come to Australia. So I wanted to ask you, like, who are the people or person, I mean, just name anyone really, who, like, made you punch the air when they accepted your invitation?
Oh, well, you know, what is not to love? Shehan Karunatilaka, who's just won the Booker Prize.
Yeah, just saying.
That's incredibly exciting because this is the wonderful thing about the Booker, you know, in that it's not just always the same people winning it. It's people who have a unique voice, who, you know, lots of people have not read before, although, you know, he has, you know, that this is his second book. But
and what do you love about his work?
Oh, that it's big, that it's dark, that it's terrifying and incredibly important, and that it's funny, that it's got that quality of rollicking narrative that, you know, that carries you along with it, and that it's got this beautiful combination of dark and rich humour. And, you know, it's not something where you put it down and you know, and that was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something that stays with you and that you feel like reading it has done something significant for you as a reader and as somebody, you know, in terms of the way you understand the world. So that's one of those big experiences.
Not your only Booker Prize winner, though, on the list, right?
Not our only Booker. We've got the most recent, we've got the youngest, because Eleanor Catton is coming. And she's coming to talk about, of course, a new book, which she hasn't had for a few years, called Burnham Wood. You know, loving a good Macbeth reference. and that's a book that's about this moment in time, about all kinds of concerns and issues about, you know, tech billionaires, about doomsday preppers, about the environment, and in a kind of a thriller-like format. So that's wonderful. You know, if we're going through Booker Prize winners,
as we are, as we so often are,
as we are, Bernardine Evaristo is coming, yes, which is a really incredible.
She is spectacular.
She's spectacular.
Yeah,
and she was due to come here, I think, in 2020, and of course that festival disappeared.
Of course, yeah.
She won the Booker Prize with Margaret Atwood in 2019 for Girl, Woman, Other, which is an incredible book. But since then, of course, she's published an autobiography called Manifesto.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting take on, you know, the story of her life as a writer. And if you love somebody's work and are interested in somebody's work, particularly somebody like her who is inventing new forms in a way, so it's not just I have written a well-crafted, standard, beginning, middle, end kind of type novel. She is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So somebody who's written across different forms and worked in theatre. And so the whole story of how she got there and about her life, when you're somebody who loves her work or when you're somebody who's never read her work, it's a really interesting story.
And she's pretty astounding in person, isn't she?
And she's pretty astounding in person, I think. Although yes, that's one of those things where it's not just that you love their work, but you can't wait to see what it's going to be like to have them in conversation. And she's going to be doing a beautiful one-on-one session with Sasonke Msimang, and I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, I would actually turn up to anything that Sasonke does. Like, she's a terrific writer and great historian, but also a really, really talented interviewer.
She's a lovely conversationalist because what you have is somebody who's very present in the moment, having a real conversation with the person. It doesn't feel like that thing of,
I've got a list of questions to ask
and here they are. I'm going to go through them. Or in the slightest bit staged.
Yeah.
What I think you see when you see her talking to somebody is a real engagement, a real conversation between the two of them.
Seeing great writers talking to each other is always just a joy and just such a unique experience, which you can't necessarily get from just like Googling on YouTube and finding, you know, speeches that writers have done and so on.
And it's really interesting to think about when putting together a festival, this whole question about why do we think an audience will come to this festival?
Right.
So I'm really conscious of thinking about that question about what experience is it going to be for an audience? And the thing that you mentioned, which is being in a room together with a whole lot of other people, having that experience together of encountering somebody whose work you think is important or you like, or whose work you're just discovering, but also what other kind of experiences? Because, you know, it's really time to think, you know, we do love a good talking head, you know, a writer talking about their work or a writer in conversation, absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what are the kind of experiences that we can add to that? And so there are a few very special things in the festival that are not straight up chit-chat, that are much more about let's do this in a different kind of way.
Okay, so
one of those is Love Sermon.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Clementine Ford and Libby O'Donovan. I haven't seen the show, but it has been around in regional. They've done some performances of it in regional New South Wales, and a sort of a very early version of it last year. And it's developed. And what it is, it's a beautiful conversation between, you know, Clementine and Libby on stage, but with an audience, with music. So those of us who know Clementine as a writer, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
did not know that she has this incredible voice. So it's this beautiful integration. You know, she's written about love, about all of the different kinds of love and what they mean in our lives. And this is a performance which is going to go, you know, beyond that talking thing. Really, I think, you know, apparently, well, I don't know if this is going to go encourage people to buy tickets, but there's a lot of emotion in the room. There's a lot of people having been really moved, and that is the power of music in combination with ideas. And it's an interactive show. It's spontaneous, but there is this underlying of this beautiful, beautiful voices and music. Yeah, so
I can't wait. And so what other, I mean, are there any other great matchups of pairs of conversationalists that you're particularly looking forward to?
Well, we have, as you know, we have a series called Your Favourite's Favourite, which where somebody, a writer, talks to somebody about a new book or a piece of work they've got. One of those which is really exciting is Nakia Louie is going to be talking to Madison Godfrey. So
wow.
Nakia has been working with the publisher Allen & Unwin on a new series of books under the imprint Joan. And this is the first book coming out in that series. It's called Dress Rehearsals by Madison Godfrey. Madison is an incredible performer as a poet. They are really spectacular as an interpreter and a performer of their work. And Dress Rehearsals is absolutely wonderful. It's an autobiography, it's a kind of a memoir, it's poetry, but you read it from start to finish in a delicious, you know, that it's a really, really incredible read. And so they're going to be having a conversation about that, and I'm really looking forward to that.
I mean, we have, honestly, when we start talking, we always talk about big flashy international names that are visiting, but also there's just a great range of, as always, brilliant Australian writers. You have Alexis Wright coming. My God.
Well, this is very special. And the interesting thing about this is that I wanted to include Alexis Wright in the program before I knew she had a new novel.
Right.
Because one of the things about a writer's festival is that there's always a lot of focus on who has a new book.
Yeah.
And what's just been published.
Mm.
And obviously, as readers, we all want to find out about the greatest, latest new thing.
Mm.
But also that tells you which writers are prepared to come out of their garret or their palace and talk to us. And that's people who've got, you know, something that they want us to engage with. But I was really thinking about this question about, actually, there's lots of people who are really important to us as writers and who we don't hear from often. They don't live in Sydney. We don't see them all the time. And their work is really important for Australia and for our writing and literature in the long term. And so somebody like Alexis Wright, I was really thinking that it would be great to have her, it's almost, you know, to talk about Carpentaria or something else. And then, of course, she has a new book coming out
Very obliging.
Thank you. Called Praiseworthy. So that's very exciting that we're going to be able to see her at the festival, and she's going to be featured on our opening night.
So tell me about the opening. My favourite thing about the festival is the opening night. It's like this little tasting platter.
Well, the opening night is going to include some of the people that we've mentioned. So Bernadine Evaristo and Madison Godfrey also, and Alexis Wright and Benjamin Law. And so what we will be sharing with audiences is, you know, those we've asked them to share their reflections on how the past shapes the future. And it was really important to have people from different generational perspectives on that and talking about different kinds of things.
Mm.
So Alexis Wright will be speaking on the opening night, but also, of course, having a big conversation about her work and about Praiseworthy.
Great. Yeah, one thing that I'm really looking forward to actually is seeing Tracy Lien, because her first novel, All That's Left Unsaid, was one of the most impressive books I read last year.
I am very excited about this, and it's quite interesting, you know, Tracy Lien is a, this is her first book. She's an Australian journalist living overseas. There's a strange thing about festivals, you know, often thinking actually we can't bring Australia, you know, have Australians who are living overseas come back because we want, you know, if we're paying for travel, it's not, that's not what we want to do. And I really, really wanted to have her in the festival because I think it's an important book.
Mm.
And in particular, to me, as somebody who has lived most of my life in Sydney, I felt like it's really important for her to talk about it here.
Yeah.
Because it's capturing a piece of something that those of us who are around in the 90s know about, but it's showing it to us in a really different way. So, yeah, I think it's an extraordinary book. She's going to be in conversation with Benjamin Law, but also joining in some other conversations in the festival.
And I can't believe that's her first book. It reads like... It's incredibly assured.
I know. And so, yeah, so that's wonderful. And there's another young Australian currently living overseas who I'm very excited about having in the festival, and that's Bo Seo, who's written a book called Good Arguments.
Such a good book.
Everybody needs to know about it so that you can, you know, to know how to talk to people in your life, really, let alone how to make bigger scale arguments.
When I first read it, I mean, because he's a former world champion debater, like had got a brain.
I think that's something that you remain always.
I know, right? Yeah, brain the size of a planet. But and so when I heard about the book and he was offering some reflections on the art of argument, of arguing with goodwill, I think is just one of the most important things for us to be talking about in this fractured age. But the book is also this beautiful and quite loving memoir of the experience of arriving in Australia without English as a first language, and how structured argument also allowed him to be at home at his school and with his friends. Anyway, it's just a terrific book. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so pleased that he's coming over. And Geraldine Brooks coming as well.
Geraldine Brooks coming as well. Yeah, and she's somebody who, you know, she's got a relatively new book, but she's an incredibly interesting writer. I mean, I think a lot of people know and love her through her novels, but the whole thing about Geraldine as a journalist, an incredibly acute observer of the world, of ideas, of writing, of reading, is exactly the kind of person you want as a festival guest.
Completely agreed. Now, something I'm quite excited about too, because I'm a great consumer of cookbooks, is that you've got a whole kind of cooking stream this year, which is...
We've got some conversations about food, and this is something where... Part, you know, like when you start off thinking about a festival, one of the things for me is what haven't we talked about before? Are there things that are really important to people in their lives that the festival hasn't really engaged with so much? And the striking thing for anybody who comes to the festival on Saturday, big day at the festival, is that the Carriage Works Farmers Market are on at the same time.
Yes.
And so the idea that we could have some conversations about food on that day struck me as really perfect. And Australia, I think, you know, I'm putting it out there, world champion of amazing food books, that our food writing and publishing is really quite extraordinary. I think our readership of them is also pretty impressive. But what there is out at the moment is a whole lot of really interesting books about food, but also about farming, about regenerative agriculture, about how we grow our food, about how this connects with the bigger environmental conversations that we're having. So we have some wonderful, you know, people whose work you know, some of us, those of us who cook, probably read every day, every second day. And also, you know, so we've got Stephanie Alexander, Maggie Beer, Matthew Evans, Annabelle Crabb and Adam Lior, who are kind enough to be hosting our food, amazing food storytelling event. But we've also got people, Sam Vincent, My Father and Other Animals, an amazing book about coming to terms with, you know, becoming an apprentice farmer and what that means in Australia here and now. Or Nicola Harvey going through, turning from a journalist at BuzzFeed to a New Zealand farmer. How did that happen and why? And they've written these really beautiful, fascinating personal stories that engage with all of these issues.
And also Nat's What I Reckon, who swears about jar sauce.
Who swears about jar sauce.
One of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's going to be some interesting conversations that are, you know, I think we're hoping that people will wander in from the farmer's market, have a listen, buy a book, but just kind of have those two things cross over a bit.
Another kind of loose grouping of conversations that you've curated is about I don't know, that modern question that we're all facing, which is this just me feeling like this? How can I get myself out of this, you know, post-COVID slump of fear and depression, basically?
Fear, depression, burnout,
yep.
Tech addiction,
yep.
Whichever version of it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important because there are some great writers that we've got coming to talk about it, like someone like Jenny O'Dell,
yeah.
Who are talking about the really big issues of principle that sit behind this, but in a way where you can engage with what she writes and take it and use it in your life today or tomorrow. Mm. And so that, you know, Jenny O'Dell wrote this fantastic book called How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy, a couple of years ago, which is a book, you know, she's a really interesting writer because I can't imagine that the person who published that book realized what kind of an impact it was going to have when they did it. And you know, if you don't know it, it might ring a bell. How to Do Nothing, a book covered with a cover covered with flowers, and she's got a new book out called Saving Time, which is all about these questions. Big philosophical questions. Why have we conflated time with productivity? So it's really building on the ideas in How to Do Nothing. And it's about how we think about time, how we spend it, how we have conflated it with ideas about money and productivity. So it's about these big issues that affect your work and your life every day. But it's also really about some quite smaller things. And she has a lovely personal kind of reflection on things about, you know, Jenny O'Dell, like every other interesting writer, loves birds, watches birds, keeps an eye on them. So there's really threads in it that I think lots of people will take away and think, actually, I need to think about my life differently. I need to do things differently. And so on the Sunday, there's a whole group of conversations about these things. Coincidentally, we've got this group of people, including Nat's What I Reckon, including Daniel Lavery, including
Lawrence Mooney.
People who have written books giving us life advice.
Yeah.
So we've also got this very eclectic collection of people.
They're also very funny.
Very funny. So this idea about who are these people giving us advice about our lives. And so I think that will be fun, but I also suspect that you'll take away something pretty interesting from it.
So a lot of these sessions, of course, are conventional, buy a ticket, come on in, but there's heaps of free stuff going on too, right?
There's lots of free stuff. And there's the Curiosity Lecture Series, which is something that
my festival always
runs. And we've done it slightly differently this time round in that we've got a mixture of, you know, we've actually brought in people who are real experts at what they do, as well as asking the writers in our program to talk about something that sends them mad or crazy or that they love.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, Clementine Ford talking about the myth of marital happiness, which will be very confronting, interesting.
Should they see that before or after the musical one? I don't know.
Well, it comes sequentially.
Right, of course.
After, I think. But also Ben Newell, who's an amazing psychologist, talking about our unconscious minds. And one that I'm really looking forward to because I loved this book is Tabitha Carvin talking about, you know, on finding your passion, bracket, for Benedict Cumberbatch. So she's written this really...
Oh, my gosh, that book is...
Lovely book.
I love that book. It's so funny and it makes this really quite sophisticated point in a funny way. It's immensely readable, but it essentially is this sort of long, talented shriek in defence of doing what makes you happy.
Doing what makes you happy and why that is important. And also for anybody who's lived through that phase of their life as a parent, you know, the intense parenting phase with small children, how you cling on to the things that make you happy and make you yourself.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of very, very funny things. And we've also asked Tabitha to be in our the storytelling event. So again, great. I feel like that will be something to look forward to.
I feel like we're running out of time because I don't want to take up everybody's entire day. But Richard Feidler and Peter Frankopan, looking forward to that quite a bit.
That's and Peter Frankopan, incredible historian who anybody who came to the festival to hear him talk about his book, The Silk Roads, would remember how incredibly eloquent and fascinating he is. And of course, so he and Richard Feidler have now, you know, had a little bit of a crossover in terms of the books they're all talking about. But Peter Frankopan has written this incredible book called The Earth Transformed, which is a history of climate, a history of what has happened on Earth and
it's a fairly modest premise then.
A fairly modest book. So, I encourage anybody who doesn't have the stamina to read giant nonfiction to come along and hear him talk about it because he really is, you know, again, very eloquent and incredibly smart.
Also, Helen Garner and Hedley Thomas talking about writing about crime and questions of justice is something that I'm clearing my diary for.
Yes, that's a really special one. Obviously, everybody, you know, the Teacher's Pet, that podcast, is an incredible phenomenon because of how many people have listened to it, but also because of this role it's played in a long-running case.
But also recording the history of how we used to think about the relevance of women's lives, I mean, and... Yeah,
absolutely. So it's an incredibly significant piece of work. And if you think this is a question for me, thinking about these very big questions about crime and justice and looking at it in the landscape of time, that these are not things that this is something that's been, you know, that case, we have to look at this over 20, 30 years and thinking about what is the conversation about that and going back to the work of Helen, incredible work of Helen Garner in chronicling cases and looking at this, you know, this sense over time, these really, really big questions in a way that makes them clear and fascinating to an audience. So, yes, and that's with wonderful Sarah Krasnostein in the chair.
Ugh, none better. So also you've got All Day YA happening, which is like a kind of...
An absolute feast, yeah. Rom-com, thrillers, incredible.
So good. There's a lot of diversity and variety there this year.
And Nathan Luff is our new programmer for children and young audiences, and he's put together a beautiful day on the Sunday also. Family day, big backyard, Bri the Fly Guy, you know. So all of this incredible stuff about books and stories, but also great activities.
Also
kids.
Nazim Hussain coming.
Also Nazim Hussain. Hilarious hyena.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be great. So that's that you know, while Australian politics and many other things are happening on the Sunday, there'll also be a whole lot of
Barry Cassidy and Friends.
Barry Cassidy
always.
And Friends.
Yep.
What's happened in the last year?
Not
since
much.
The last election.
Should be a brief session.
Exactly.
No problem. And now, the closing night address.
The closing night address. Another Booker Prize winner, of course. Richard Flanagan.
Because there's too many Booker Prize winners. it's just showing off.
Talking about why it's really important for us to tell our own stories. And this is something that came out of, you know, this whole discussion about a cultural policy for Australia and why writing is so important. And so I've asked Richard to think about and talk about that question. And for those of you who've read or seen Richard give talks about polemical topics would know that they stand... you know, they stick in your mind.
Yep.
When he takes
He's
on a
all
topic,
in, right?
When he takes on a topic, it's really going to be a big and exciting argument.
Never seen that man phone a piece of writing in?
No,
or
absolutely not at all. Yep. And so I can't wait for that.
Hey, Anne, it seems like I'll say goodbye in a minute. A good juncture just on that note to talk about the significance of writers' festivals, because it hasn't been easy for festivals over COVID. And obviously the festival has the challenges around funding and viability that a lot of festivals do, especially when, for instance, you know, writers come to the Sydney Writers Festival not because they get paid millions of dollars, but because this is one of the most well-known and beloved festivals in the world. It has an amazing international reputation, which is why you get writers of caliber coming here. And I just wanted to mention, I mean, to anyone listening, that this is a festival that doesn't just happen, you know, because it gets sort of huge amounts of public funding.
But like, look effortless.
Right. But I mean, if you're thinking, oh yeah, I've been to the Sydney Writers Festival a few times, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't, like, just get twice as many tickets as you normally would, is what I'm trying to say.
Because, you know, arts organisations are smaller and more fragile than you think. An organisation like Sydney Writers Festival that puts on something that looks large and imposing.
And robust.
And robust. Behind the scenes, it's a lot less straightforward than that. And the interesting thing about Sydney Writers Festival as opposed to other writers' festivals is the vast majority share of our income comes from audiences and from sponsors and donors. And so our festival is supported by the people who buy tickets and the people who are generous enough to support us, you know, beyond that ticket buying level. And so this is a festival that is in the hands of its audiences. And so, yes, do come and support us, because this is the great charm of this festival for me, is how loved it is and what a strong community it has around it.
Because there's no feeling like being there.
Being there. That whole thing about being together, having these intense experiences, whether it's of emotion and the kind of thing we were talking about with Love Sermon, or whether it's about revelatory ideas, or whether it's about seeing somebody, oh, wow, I've always loved their work. But doing that together, I think, is really important. This is the first big return of internationals post-COVID. But yes, that point, which is we are a festival who are supported by our audiences, and so we're relying on you to be, you know, a hugely significant part of what makes the festival special.
There you go, people. Get to it. 22nd to the 28th of May, and it's extremely easy to book many tickets right now. What's the website?
www.swf.org.au.
Well, Anne, thank you for making yourself available to give us this little taster of what's coming up in May. And a big thank you to 2SER for recording this session and for being a great supporter of the festival. Thank you.
And thank you, Annabelle. And thanks again to 2SER.